The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Banks, co-creator of Green Lantern Kyle Rayner, and you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 343. I'd like to thank you for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast, and I truly hope everything is going well with you. Before I talk about my guests, I'd like to remind you that the voting for the Columbus Podcast Awards has been extended for about another week, so if you haven't voted, you still got some time. Just go on over to columbuspodcastawards.com/nominations. And if you go to the entertainment division, you will find the PVD Cast. You can vote there. You can also go to the TV and film category and vote for my other podcasting project that I do with Jason Taylor called Matt Talk. And you can even vote for my good friends, the Canned Air Podcast, over in the comedy division as well. And don't forget that there's one final category you can vote in, and that's Podcast of the Year. I would love to have that title for the PVD Cast, so please, if you haven't voted, please do so. Once again, go over to columbuspodcastawards.com/nominations, cast your votes. And for those of you who have already voted, thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. I'd love to, in early September, go to the awards banquet and walk on home with a little bit of hardware. That would certainly make all of the time, energy, blood, sweat, and tears really mean something. So I appreciate it. Not that I don't love podcasting. I do. But it would be a nice little extra piece of cake, if you will. I know that was a terrible saying. I don't know. But you get what I mean. So don't forget as well that Jason, Justin, and myself have a new project. We are running a Patreon for Larry Hankin. And if you don't know who Larry Hankin is, you do actually. If you've watched any TVs or movies in the last 40 years, you've seen Larry Hankin. The man's been on everything from Friends to Breaking Bad to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Home Alone, Matlock. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Well, we've been working with Larry to give some exclusive content that only you can get at the Patreon, and that's patreon.com/LarryHankin. Got some great items that you can purchase, such as some paintings from Larry. We also have some great short videos with him talking about his life before Hollywood. We got a lot of great stuff, so please check it out. It is, of course, patreon.com/LarryHankin. We are still working out all the kinks. As I've said many times before, we're learning as we go, so I'm sure there's going to be some snags. There's going to be a few snafus. Stick with us, though, and we'll get them all ironed out. And it'll be a great Patreon for you to visit. Once again, that's patreon.com/LarryHankin. Now let's talk about the two gentlemen who are joining me on this installment of the PVD Cast. They actually were featured on a previous episode, episode number 335, when I did a little recap of my trip at the end of May to Fanboy Expo here in Columbus, Ohio. I'm talking about Lee and Nate Exofers. They are the guys behind the comics Alter Ego, The Wild, and Rock of Pages. Lee and Nate were so cool and so easy to talk to that I had to have them on to talk a little bit more about not only their projects, but also, you know, how social media has impacted their creativity, their favorite comics, what it's like working with a sibling, their inspirations, etc., etc. It's an awesome episode. So you're not going to be disappointed with it. But before we get to my conversation with Nate and Lee, I need to thank once again a fantastic sponsor of the PVD Cast, World's Greatest Comics. As you know, World's Greatest Comics is located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they have tons of comics from every single era. They also have graphic novels, toys, collectibles. They got hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. Heck, they had a very successful dollar sale last weekend. That's right, where they had tons of back issues, a dollar piece. Man, that's an incredible bargain. All of this goes to show you that if you need a comic book store to call your own right here in Central Ohio, then look no further. World's Greatest Comics is the comic book shop for you. Once again, they're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, but you can also find them online. Their website is, of course, wgcomics.com, and you can find them on Facebook and actually also on Twitter at WG Comics. All right, with that being said then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Lee and Nate Exifer. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening, I'm sitting down with Lee and Nate Exifer. Guys, how you doing?
Good. Happy to be here.
Yeah, doing good, John.
Well, we met at Fanboy Expo at the end of May and talked just a little bit about your projects. And you know what? I enjoyed talking to you guys so much that I had to have you back on because you got a lot of cool things going on. And I know you have some future things that you'd like to talk about as well. But let's start off by talking that even though you two are brothers, you do have two kind of... That's true. Understatement of the podcast. You do have two kind of sets of your own things kind of going on. So Lee, you're the writer of The Wild, and Nate, you are the artist on that project.
That's right.
You guys fill in the listeners a little bit as to what that tale is all about.
Sure. And Nate, did you want to start with that one?
Yeah, definitely. So like you mentioned, The Wild is a collaboration between me and Lee. We just finished our fourth issue. And it's a adventure series about a world of animals that's been returned to the law of the jungle after the fall of their magical kingdom. The first issue actually follows a wolf who was raised by sheep as he's struggling to find his place in the world because, no one can trust the wolf. And from there, he falls into a bigger adventure to save the animal kingdom.
After reading issue one, I thought it was a delightful tale, to be very honest. And I hope you don't take offense to that adjective, because I know some people would be like, but I thought it was just so much fun. I really enjoyed the map at the end of chapter one or issue one.
Yeah. A little bit of extra world building there.
I was going to ask, was that on purpose that you decided to go in and put in a map?
Yeah, I think one of the things... we wanted to do is make this sort of like a Lord of the Rings type universe. And I know like the Lord of the Rings map is something, I think we had it hanging up in our parents' house.
We did, yeah.
Sometimes. But I just wanted to have a general lay of the land. Like the characters do go on an adventure. They're going to a specific point. And I wanted to have roughly like where they were starting from, where they're going, what they might encounter on the way. And like the point of putting it at the end of the first issue was to like what you mentioned, just hint at bigger stories. Like we have planned stuff out. there's more coming, and to just get everybody excited about the world.
Would you say that the Lord of the Rings was a big inspiration for this tale, or would that be a totally wrong thing to say?
I wouldn't say it's totally wrong. It's definitely an inspiration. The sort of fantasy setting, characters joining together to stop something from happening. But it wasn't a specific influence. I would say more specifically, it's a post-apocalyptic story. So it's sort of like if the world of Zootopia was in Lord of the Rings times, the apocalypse happened, and now there's like the Mad Max version of that. So right. Those could be like some of the influences. We were more thinking like, Mad Max, like fantasy Mad Max is what we were more running with.
I gotta be honest, I just called it delightful. Now you're like, oh, it's a Mad Max like real world. Totally not delightful as Mad Max's world.
I think delightful is fair. I mean, it's it is all ages. We're not going like super dark and heavy with anything, but just in terms of like the world that used to exist doesn't exist anymore. And the characters we're following are like picking up the pieces from that. And there's, you know, shadows from the old world that are influencing things that are happening now.
Right. And things that used to be in abundance are now a limited resource that are kind of driving some of the characters' motivations, I guess.
And I also did enjoy kind of the conflict that you have between the characters because, Nate, as you said, you know, you don't trust a wolf. And there's kind of that, you know, getting to know each other and kind of stereotypes type of storyline in there too, which I think is awesome. And it kind of works on two different levels.
Yeah. So we had a lot of fun kind of running with that in different directions by using animals, you know, as the characters for this. So in your, I don't know, just about any story of animals, wolves are usually depicted as villains. So even like Disney's, you know, Robin Hood, the sheriff is a wolf. You know, there's the big bad wolf. There's, you know, all sorts of, even in Kung Fu Panda, they made wolves one of the villains. So it's just a really common thing. And as a big fan of wolves and canines, I just thought like, well, what if, you know, the hero was a wolf and then you use that to kind of drive why nobody wants to trust him. And then there's other, like you mentioned, stereotypes that kind of come into play. So, you know, things you might expect a lion to be or things you might expect a sheep to be. We have fun kind of leaning into some of those and flipping some of the others. So, you know, our sheep character in the early drafts was a lot more afraid of everything. She was kind of nervous, you know, really uncertain. And then I think Lee just came to me one day and was like, this isn't really working. Like, what if we just completely flip this? And she's the one who wants adventure. She's the one who wants to go out and do things and be special. And it really helped give more life to that character and fill out a whole side of that story. So,
well, speaking of stories, Lee, you just mentioned that you have lots of big events planned for the wild. Can you give us a sneak peek, a little hint, if you will, without giving too much away?
Sure. Well, you read the first issue. I think most people have read the first issue. The idea was just to introduce you to Rock's life. Rock is the wolf, the main character, and get started with his story in the village that he lives in, where he's surrounded by farm animals, and especially those animals, nobody trusts him because wolves typically eat animals like that. We're also introduced to a character named Vespa, who is a hornet, and she turns out to be one of the main villains of the series. She's on a quest to revive magic in this world. Magic used to be an abundant resource. It used to be, you know, your typical kind of fantasy world, but there was a big war that used up all the magic. And Vespa has found a way to reignite the spark of magic. And that poses a threat to the entire animal kingdom. The bigger world that Rock falls into is he joins a quest to stop Vespa from doing just that.
Okay. I know that when we talked the first time, and I think we maybe jumped on this conversation or maybe not, but I'll throw it back out there. When we met, you were in the process of a Kickstarter for The Wild. In fact, I think it had just wrapped up. Obviously, The Wild got fully funded and whatnot. But what is your opinion of using Kickstarter? Because I've found that there's not a lot of middle ground. A lot of people either really, really love it or hate it. And there's not a lot of like, eh, it's okay. You get like a very decisive, I hate it, but I got to do it. I love it. It's really not that bad. Where do you two fit into that spectrum?
I would say I'm more on the love side. There's not a lot about it that I don't like. I mean, there are, you know, nitpicky things could be easier to use in some areas, but I think it's definitely the model going forward for me. It's definitely great to have. It's sort of like, we just hosted our own convention and it was just our products and it lasted for a month. So there's pros and cons to that. But you know, this was the first issue of The Wild that we funded through Kickstarter. Previously, Nate and I just worked on it. We did a very small print run and we just sold it after the fact. So it's definitely a plus to have all the pre-orders in, essentially. Mm-hmm. That's the way we viewed the Kickstarter. Like, we know, well, we hope we're going to sell some of these. And if we can get that money up front, we can pay for a bigger print run and just get the cost taken care of. And it also, you know, part of the thing that I struggle with as an artist is posting to social media. Like, if it was up to me, I would just lock myself in a room, just work on art, like hand it out to somebody else and have them publicize it. But this is a good reason. It gives us something to talk about. It's like, hey, remember me and Nate, we work on stuff and here's your chance to support us. So I think all those are positive things.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know, like Lee mentioned, you know, we did 3 books where we just printed ourselves. So with chapter 4, we were going to print it either way. So it was kind of nice to just get those pre-orders in, get, you know, kind of an install fan base and feel a little bit better printing chapter 4 and being able to print more. Mm-hmm. I'd say the downside of Kickstarter is just the stress for a month. Like, it's really great. And every new backer, you just feel so good and you're like so excited and you're like, this person like supports me and my art and what I'm doing. This is great. And then, yeah, you just see things fluctuate all month. Like, I don't play the stock market or anything. I'm not in that game. So this is the closest I came. It's just like, oh my gosh, like just watching it every day. And it's like, is this going to happen? Is this going to work? Like, is this, you know, are we going to hit the next stretch goal? And thankfully we were fully funded. I know within the first week, I forget how many days. So that was a huge relief. And then it's like, okay, well, how far can we push this? Can we get all of our stretch goals? Like, how big can we make this? What more like freebies can we get out there to people? You know, just appreciation for them supporting us. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a wild ride, and I hate to describe things as wild.
But, pun intended.
Yeah.
I think to answer your question specifically, I have no loyalty to Kickstarter. If there was a different service that mm-hmm. came up that did the same thing better, I would be more than willing to try it.
Sure.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your other big project, Altered Ego. Yeah, let's talk about it. Lee, do you want to give a quick little summary about it?
Sure. Yeah. Altered Ego is a comic about a woman with no powers in a world where everyone else is trying to be a famous superhero. And as much as she wants to avoid the spotlight, an upcoming superhuman celebration has brought a threat she can't ignore and attention she can't escape. One of the things I wanted to do, I love superheroes. So I've always wanted to do a superhero book, but I didn't want to just do like my version of Superman or my version of Spider-Man. So really thinking about it from the ground floor, like thinking like, okay, if people had superpowers in 2022, what would they be doing with it? And I think most people would just make dumb TikTok videos like using their laser vision to shoot cans or other people or whatever. So I used that as like the background. Like, that's the world that a character would live in. And what if there was a character who hated all of that, who wanted to be a superhero, but she didn't have any powers. And she was just completely fed up with everyone else and the way that things were being done. So that's the general synopsis and background of the story.
And of course, the story revolves around your protagonist, Sue, and I guess you could say roommate slash sidekick, Carol, which I enjoy the fact that she is stuck in the form of a cat. I thought that was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, wanted to have, as much as I said, you know, most people are just trying to be famous. There are actual legit superheroes in this world, and her roommate, Carol, is a former superhero. They're called the Hero Corps, which is like the analog would be like the Justice League. Mm-hmm. And she used to be like a top tier hero She was a shapeshifter, and she retired when she got stuck in the form of a cat. So now she just lives as a cat, and she happens to be Sue's roommate. And I was envisioning her as sort of like an Obi-Wan character, like from original Star Wars, like the wise mentor type. But she's also a sassy cat who is living vicariously through Sue since she can no longer be a human.
Well, I just have to ask, Lee, is there any plans to kind of expand on Carol and, like, you know, like a typical day? What is Carol's typical day? Like, she can't open doors and, you know, got to go to the bathroom, go to the kitty litter. But, you know, like, is there any plans for that or no?
I would say there is no plans for it, but you definitely got my gears turning. So let me get back to you on that.
Okay, you got
special
it.
Zero issue.
Yeah.
I mean, she could bring birds to Sue, you know, or mice, you know. I did write down, and again, much like Nate, when we were talking about The Wild, is there's quite a bit of social commentary in this issue, issue one, and I assume throughout the run so far. And obviously, we just talked about it. Social media is kind of the forefront of this social commentary. I guess I'll just ask, like, what's your opinions on social media from your perspectives?
Yeah, it's you know, I'm fully aware of the fact, like, let me back up. Altered Ego number one was funded by Kickstarter. I'm super happy about that. So it would not exist without social media. So I'm aware that I'm criticizing the thing that I use to make money. So I think it's like maybe a necessary evil might be the right word to describe it. I find that personally, the less time I'm on there, the happier I am as a person. But at the same time, if I don't make the effort to do some type of posting, like, you know, I'm not engaging with my fan base, and that needs to happen for my business. So it's a love-hate relationship for sure.
Nate, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I saw somebody describe it saying, like, the human mind was not designed to be able to handle social media. Like, it's just such a massive thing that you can go on there and read any post from any other person. Anyone in the world can just comment on anything you do, saying they like it or they don't like it, or just saying something terrible. Like, it's just the scope of conversation is insane. That said, I've met some really cool people through it. I've had a little fan base through it. It is a lot of work. And yeah, I don't know. I do think I agree with what Lee said. Like, you can't spend too much time on it. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is just that, like, it's this never-ending echo chamber of just everyone talking about everything all the time. And then, yeah, of course, like, you know, you can find whatever your favorite social media is, and eventually it'll get too corporatized, and it's all about, you know, every other post you see is just an advertisement, and you're just like, okay, I am on here for this, you know, the social aspect of it. And it's just, yeah, somebody trying to get you to buy a McRib or whatever. It's not fun anymore. So
I have grown more cynical because of social media, because I'm now the guy that says, oh, that was a funny tweet, but you know what? It's not real. It's not like a really, it's not an important thing. So I become more cynical now. And so then when things do pop up that you're like, oh, that's really thought provoking, I'm still being cynical. Like, ah, whatever. That article is clickbait. It's bullshit. It's whatever. Yeah, and then right? I'm like, maybe it's not, John. Maybe you just think for a moment. You know what I mean? So I've just become more cynical.
Yeah.
It is tough to tell, because, like, yeah, it could be like as a main thought provoking thing, but, you know, if it's tweeted by like Walmart or whatever, you know, it's gone through however many marketing people, and what's the actual intent of the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I definitely see where you come from. It's like, you can't Or it could be just a robot, you know, like it could be a right. random thing that just happened to be thought provoking.
Right.
Because of some AI that went good.
Yeah. No, and I think you have a good point. Like, I feel like each social channel has its own personality too. So like, depending on what you're looking at, like you open that app with that mindset locked in. So even if you see something that's like good or whatever, you can still just like see it with purely cynical eyes and just be like, nah, this person, right. like it could be a cute dog picture and you're still just like, they're only posting that for likes.
That's a great example. You don't go, oh, that was nice of them to show their love for Fido or
right,
whatever
yeah.
the dog's name is. And you're like, yeah, they're doing it for likes, kiss ups. Right. You know.
It's probably not even their dog.
Yeah, right. They borrowed that from the neighbor down the street. Yeah. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Nate and Lee for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all of your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a great pool system, a friendly staff, a clean store. They got it all. So you need to go check them out, especially if you're in Central Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can find them online at wgcomics.com, which is their website, and find them on social media. Just look for at WG Comics. Well, let's talk about Rock of Pages real quick, because I know it's an autobiographical piece. And I guess my biggest question coming out of it, how hard is it to create a comic about yourself?
So Rock of Pages was the first comic that I did. It was easy at first because then I didn't have to think of stories, right? It was like, hey, this thing happened. And it was just me crafting that thing into something with like a beginning and an end, usually ending in some dumb joke. The challenge it got was as it went on, it was sort of like, you know, it, like any other fictional piece of work, it develops a life of its own. And you're like, this isn't really me anymore. this is a character of me. And like not being tied to what's real, like just being like, this fits the story better. I'm just going to go with it. I will say another challenge that I'm going to assume any creative person faces. But like once your friends and family are aware of this is a thing you do, they're always like, hey, I got an idea for your next comic. They're like, you need to, this was a funny thing that happened that we just experienced. You should make a comic out of that. It's like, okay. I'm going to do that.
So when you say that it kind of morphed into, you know, like a, I guess you could say parody of what you started out with, is that a fair thing to say?
I don't know if parody is the right word. It just evolved.
More of a fictional piece.
Yes. More of a fictional piece, yeah.
Does that mean your pals were not Matt and is it Guillermo? Are they actual people or did you make them up?
Those are actual people.
Oh, okay.
They were my college buddies.
Okay.
I think, yeah, at the beginning, actually, this is hot take, but at the beginning, I would actually use just random people that I knew. And then as it kept going, I was like, maybe I shouldn't just use people's likeness and names without making sure that so I diverged from that a little bit. But yeah, Matt and Guillermo were my college buddies, and they were on board with all of it from the start.
Okay. Now the series is done, correct?
Yeah, correct. Okay. I finished in 2015 actually, so it's been a while.
Oh, okay. So there's no plans for a sequel?
No plans for a sequel. Every once in a while I think it would be funny to do some one-off of like me now as an older man approaching middle age. but no plans. I think by the time I was done with Rock of Pages, I was pretty sick of it. Mm-hmm. It took a long time to do. And I was like, man, I just don't want to draw myself anymore. Like it felt weird. So, I mean, it has been a decent amount of time. So maybe it'd be fun to revisit in some capacity, but yeah, right now my thoughts are on future things.
Okay. And we'll talk about those future things in a few moments. Okay. Nate, what's it like working with your brother and vice versa? Lee, what's it like working with Nate?
It's been really good. I know that's not everyone's experience working with a sibling, but yeah, it was actually Lee who approached me. He had just finished Rock of Pages, and well, I mean, some amount of time went by, but he was trying to think of what his next project would be. And I think, yeah, especially given what he just said, you know, he wanted to try something completely different. So in this case, it was writing a book that he wouldn't draw. Yeah, we pitched ideas back and forth, and from that point, it's really been a joint effort. We bounce ideas off each other all the time for it. I know he'll give me suggestions as he's writing the script, but he, you know, doesn't control the art in any way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I always welcome his feedback. I show him the thumbnails to make sure they line up with what he was picturing when he was writing the script. I know he looks at the art a couple times during the process to, you know, double check me. It's good to have any kind of feedback, you know. You should never create in a vacuum. But yeah, it's been a super positive experience. For me, the story has always been the hard part. So mm-hmm. when he would keep coming out with new issues of Rock of Pages, people would then see my stuff and be like, well, when are you coming out with a book? And it's like, I'm trying. But I can never get from that start to the end of the story. So yeah, it was great. He also keeps me really motivated because he was able to write, you know, and this I think is really good for the sake of the book too. He was able to write the general framework of the whole six issues. So knowing that he had invested all that time helped keep me motivated when it's really hard to draw a comic. I don't know how many people have tried, but you get to all these moments and you're just like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what I'm doing. So yeah, knowing that he was invested helped keep me moving forward, having someone to bounce ideas off of and yeah, check my notes basically, also helped work out of some of those darker moments. So yeah, I guess I couldn't recommend it for everyone, but for us, I think it's been really great.
Lee, do you have some things you want to add into that?
Yeah, I agree. We've always worked well together. You know, when we were kids, we would draw, you know, a lot of times we'd be drawing separately, but together, like playing, but drawing. And then we collaborated on some really crude, like illustrated storybooks.
Yeah.
But even like, you know, when we'd play video games, we're, you know, we play Smash Brothers and we'd be on the same team, you know, we have a good rhythm.
Yeah.
And yeah, like Nate said, it's a true collaboration. This isn't something that, you know, I just had an idea for and I thought Nate would be perfect to illustrate it. I came to Nate, I was like, hey, we should work on something. And let's just start with some ideas bouncing back and forth. And he had, you know, the wolf character, which we ended up using. As we were developing characters, I was like, I think this character type would work. Like, I want someone to be like a sidekick for him. Like, if he's like the gruff, like misunderstood, hated person, you know, that's what I was like, a Wolverine archetype. He needs like a Jubilee character that's like the fun sidekick type character. And so I just came up with like the archetypes and then we were like, which animal works? And Nate would come up with some designs and we'd go back and forth that way. So it is really a true collaboration, 50-50 partners. I think one of the things that helps, I don't know if this is true or not, but I think the fact that I'm an artist helps because sometimes if I'm describing a scene, or I know there's one time in particular, there was like a mountain with an open top and like had staircases and another, yeah. Go to another mountain. And I described it as best that I could, but then I was like, you know what? I can just draw this like real quick so we can see what I'm thinking, what needs to happen, where the characters need to be for this. So I think that helps that we can go back and forth with some of the art. Like all the art is Nate's, but in terms of like just figuring things out, if Nate's stuck on something, you know, I can just draw over real quick and be like, this is what I was picturing. And then he can send it back, you know, that type of thing.
Cool. Well, you mentioned that you guys enjoy comics and you enjoy superheroes. So let's hear who are some of your favorite superheroes and or comic book characters?
So some of my favorite comic book characters are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't know why or what it is, but that's just, you know, since the old 87 cartoon, like, they have stuck with me. They've been a constant, like, I don't know why I love these guys so much, but, like, every iteration is just great. So I'm also a big X-Men fan. Spider-Man's also great. Also Batman, yeah, from DC. I'm not just one-sided. And then Hellboy is also a big one for me.
Nate, if I'm not mistaken, in my research, didn't you have an opportunity to work on a Spider-Man project for, like, Upper Deck? Am I correct on that? Okay.
Being
a big fan, yeah. was that a cool experience?
That was, yeah. So I forget how many sketch cards it was, but it was in celebration of Spider-Man Homecoming. They reached out and I had to do a set of sketch cards or trading cards. And it was a lot. And I had a short amount of time to do it because I was also like leaving on vacation, but I was like, I'm not going to pass up this opportunity. Yeah. So it's just drawing, I forget, just dozens of Spider-Man characters. But yeah, it was a blast because, Spider-Man's got a great set of villains, great set of side characters, even, all of his different costumes over the years. That was a ton of fun.
Lee, how about some of your favorite comic book characters or superheroes?
Yeah, well, I've always loved superheroes. I do definitely love the Turtles as well. I have that affinity for them from my childhood, but I think Nate has definitely carried them more into adulthood than I have.
Yeah.
I like all the big ones. I don't know that there's any bad characters so much as just bad takes on characters, but I'm typically a DC guy. Like, the Justice League is my thing, and Superman is my favorite character. I think part of the fact is just digging into more comics history, realizing, he was the first superhero, how much of every other character is at least a reaction to him. He's got the best costume, got great characters, and I love that he is the best person and he could do anything he wants to do, and he chooses to just be a hero.
Yeah.
Which I think really appeals to me.
And to throw it out, he's also, a quote unquote an Ohio boy because he was created in Cleveland. So give it a little love there for the Buckeye State.
And the Hall of Justice came from Cincinnati.
Really?
Yeah. This is a true story, but I think it was Kenner Toys at the time was located in Cincinnati.
Right.
And they were designing the Superpowers toy line. And they needed to, design the Hall of Justice. And they used Union Terminal. You can look it up. The front of Union Terminal looks pretty much dead onto the Hall of Justice. So when at the Cincinnati Comic Expo, a lot of people will do cosplay photos at Union Terminal in Cincinnati.
It's their art museum now.
Okay.
But it still has that front to it. It's a really cool building, really good museum too. But yeah, I always think that when I go in there, it's like, this is the Hall of Justice.
I learned something today. I did not know that that was even a thing. So awesome. Thanks, guys. Next time I go to Cincinnati, I'm going to the art museum.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah, entertainment definitely. And information. We got it all.
There you go. What more can you want, folks? All right, let's talk about some upcoming projects that you guys have on tap. Nate, Lee, whoever wants to go first.
Like we said, the Kickstarter for Chapter 4 just wrapped up. We're still working on getting all the rewards out. So that's priority number one. But that also means it's time to work on The Wild Chapter 5. I do have the script. I'm going to start storyboards here soon. That's always a fun process to try and figure out how each page functions and works together. Outside of that, I'm mostly working on different posters and prints for all the different comic conventions we go to. So,
because you do quite a bit of commissions, correct? And kind of sketch covers and whatnot?
Yep, whenever I can. I definitely love to do that kind of stuff.
Lee, what you got on tap?
Yeah, next for me is issue 2 of Altered Ego. targeting October for the Kickstarter. The art is, I'll say, 99% done. So we're pretty much ready. Yeah, just waiting. I like to space out. trying to do like 6 months between Kickstarters at least. So October is what we're targeting for that. It's going to be a 6-issue miniseries, and it'll end at issue 6. So everything is all written. I'm working on just plugging away through the artwork for that. And in downtime, I'm starting to think about the next project. Don't know what it'll be yet, but I'm thinking it'll be more of a horror book. That's what I'm thinking about doing next. And then more immediately, Nate and I will be at Gem City Comic Con this weekend in Dayton, Ohio. Yep, it's a 2-day show at the Dayton Convention Center. Anybody who's in the area should definitely stop by. It's definitely a comic con. There's no like D-list celebrities there. It's just artists and vendors. But it's always a good time. You'll be able to see everything that's out there. You won't feel overwhelmed.
Or pressed for time or anything.
Yeah.
Not to plug it too much, but I know it is always a good one for Lee and I, because it was our first Comic-Con that we showed at.
Okay.
So yeah, it always has a special place for us. This is like, yeah, this is, I don't know, an easy way to kind of mark our progress over time.
Do you have any other appearances or any other Comic-Cons lined up?
We've got Cincinnati in September. I think that might be all we have booked for the year so far.
Nate, yeah, at this point, I think that's our last one. I think we're on the fence about some others, but haven't registered for those yet.
Yeah, I think there are a couple other ones on our radar. We had a pretty busy first half of the year.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of okay. Doing a couple more throughout the year.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. It feels like, conventions are kind of 6 months, and then we get 6 months off, and that's when, you know, you really focus in on the next chapter of the book, really.
Well, where can folks keep tabs on you guys so that they know where you're going to be, even if you add some more appearances to your calendar or whatnot? So let's run down social media, websites, and whatnot.
Sure. So yeah, I am Nate Exopher everywhere. So that's NateExopher. And that's on Instagram, Twitter, DeviantArt, Facebook. Is that everything? And then also NateExopher.com is my website. I'm also on Reddit now.
Okay. All right. Yes. Similar for me, I'm Lee Exopher everywhere, LeeExopher.com. On Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, DeviantArt primarily. Haven't got onto TikTok or Snapchat. At some point, maybe. Let me know. You can shoot me an email if I should get on there.
and for folks at home, by the way, too, it's L-E-E.
Okay. Yes, right.
L-E-E. That's spelling of Lee. No fancy ways, just straight old regular spelling of Lee.
The last name's weird enough. First name is just L-E-E.
All right, guys, with that, thank you very, very much for taking some time out of your schedule to sit down and chat with me.
Yeah, absolutely. This is great.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Cool. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Nate and Lee Exopher, talking about their various projects, and I want to sincerely say thank you to both Lee and Nate for taking some time out of their very busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. And now, it's a part of the podcast where I let you know how you can get in touch with me if you have a comment about Lee and Nate or any guest that I've had on this podcast. You can do that a couple different ways. First, you could shoot me an email if you like. johnorlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can drop me a note over at Facebook or Instagram. Just search for @pvdcast. And you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear the PVDcast. Well, there's a bunch of different options for that as well. First, PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, is a great place to get each and every single episode, but it's also available through all of those major podcasting platforms. Just open up your favorite podcasting app, go to the search bar, type in PVDcast, sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. If you want even a simpler way to listen to each and every episode, well, I got you covered, because every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, yours truly does a little Facebook broadcast through the Facebook page of the PVDcast. It's a whole lot of fun. You can listen to the episode. You can ask questions or make comments if you like in the comment section, and I will respond to them. It's a pretty cool way to interact with yours truly and to hear the week's episode of the PVDcast. And if you listen to any episode, past or present, I need you to do me a big favor. I need you to rate and review, because rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. It lets these social media platforms and all of these podcasting apps know that you're listening, and it moves me up the charts. I don't know how it works. I just know it's something that you need to do as a podcaster. And of course, when you rate, give me as many stars as you think I deserve. And when you review, just write a simple couple of words. You don't have to write anything huge. You don't have to write like a senior thesis or anything, but I would greatly appreciate it. And you know what? Also, don't forget to subscribe, and then that way you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. So once again, I thank you for checking out the episode, and I shall chat in each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2022.